Our hearts are always concerned when we hear of somebody that is in need, somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's downhearted, somebody that's sick, somebody that's lonely. And so we begin to say, Lord, what can we do to meet the needs in this congregation? What can we do to cause that person to feel needed, to feel welcome, to feel happy, contented, blessed in the Lord, and giving of his talents to the Lord? And I believe that it has been because the Lord is interested in you that he has led us to start many of these ministries that all of your needs might be met. And so I'd like to start first of all with our outreach ministries that we have in progress at this time. There might be some of you here that are unaware of some of these ministries. We have an outreach ministry in Yakima this summer with Dan O'Brien, and we have good reports coming from that ministry. Dan and Cherie O'Brien bring a group of people over here almost every gospel and song. They had quite a group last month, and they're bringing another group over for tomorrow night, people that are hungry to see the move of God. Also, they have a special meeting planned in August with Mike Sabrin going over and holding a 3-day seminar. They're going to rent a building. The TV station over there is interested in possibly televising it, and the Victory Singers are going to go over, so be praying for that ministry. God is opening many doors. There's a lot of hungry hearts there, and they're having a real good response to their Bible study. Also under Dan O'Brien is the Pasco Kennewick area, in which Alan and Grace Bell went, and they're ministering there this summer. Fred and Jenny Rapp are in the Spokane area ministering for the Lord and establishing a fellowship there. Alan and Jan McManus moved back to Bozeman, Montana, where Linda Kernelka's parents live, and they have a group there that is interested in getting a fellowship started. There's no good spirit-filled group or church there in Bozeman, and so Linda's parents have not had any good church to send the people to that they've been winning to the Lord, and so McManuses are back there ministering and building those people up in the faith. We have a witnessing team that has gone under Doug McCollum to Kalispell to help Mike Oates in the satellite church there. Jerry and Gail McElroy went to Sparta, Illinois to help in the fellowship there. We have an Anacortes Bible study that Ron Lowry is teaching, and we're getting good results. People there from various denominations that are spirit-filled or hungry for the Word of God. Bob DeWitt went back to Sacramento, California this summer and has started a Bible study in Sacramento. We have a Bremerton Fellowship that is getting established, and the team has been working very hard with those who have been won to the Lord on the ferry witnessing ministry, and now we're getting a fellowship started in Bremerton. We have the Tacoma Fellowship that meets every Friday night, and that is why you don't see some of the faces here that you see on Sunday night, because there's about 50 or so in that Tacoma Fellowship led by Greg Thiel. Also, we have in Lakewood, which is north of Everett, a Bible study that Marty Gimmer is teaching, and they're getting good results. There's a number of people are coming and are very hungry for more of the Word of God. And then, as you know, we sent Casellos and Thurners out this summer on an evangelistic tour. The Bible College is supporting them, and they have been going to Jesus festivals. They went to the Jesus Festival, first of all, in Texas, and then up to Pennsylvania, and then to Virginia, and then to Kentucky, and then back to Pennsylvania, and then to Ohio, and then they'll be back home again. They're reporting how that they have already sent us several names of people who are interested in coming to Bible College. We have 12 of our airline personnel under John Copang, who is a coordinator for that, that flies to these various places as they are able and helps in that ministry with Thurners and also other Jesus fairs around the country. And some of the Jesus fairs that we have participated in, we had a booth at the Puyallup Jesus Fair, and an eight-member team went to Denver, Colorado, and ministered. In Vancouver, Washington, we have witness teams that went down to that one. In Sacramento, California, we had a booth. And in Santa Rosa, California, we will have a college booth at that particular Jesus Fair. Now, these are events that thousands and thousands of Christians come to. Christians who are hungry to know more about God. Christians who are looking for a move of God. Many of them are Spirit-filled, some of them are not. Most of them have not had any in-depth teaching at all, and this is why they go to these gatherings. They're just hunting for something. They're hunting for something that will satisfy their souls. And we know that the only thing that's really going to satisfy them is if they can begin to eat of the Word of God. Because if they do not have a good rounded diet of the Word of God, their Christian walk is not going to be stable. It's not going to be satisfied with just glory seeking, even though the presence of God is wonderful and needed and necessary, but without the Word of God, they're going to starve to death. And so we see how hungry they are out there. And our teams that have gone to these have found many, many hungry souls that wanted to know more about Jesus. Some of them have been able to pray with ones and they've gotten filled with the Holy Spirit right there on the campus. We've had ministries at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Tacoma. Ron Lowry was a moderator, and a music team went over as well, and three accepted Christ as their Savior at that particular meeting. One music team was able to minister at the Wenatchee Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship and also the Portland Pentecostal Conference. We have New Life Ministries at the University of Washington and also the Green River College, where we have been able to establish fellowships and Bible studies. We have approximately 28 Bible studies in the Seattle area, plus two Bible studies at the Boeing Company in various locations where we have people here that are Boeing employees and have started Bible studies there. We have ministry at high schools by Keith Johnson, and he's been able to minister at two Christian schools in the Portland area and some here in the Seattle area as we have an open door to get into the high schools and present to them our Bible college and so forth. And so it is just a new ministry that Keith has been able to go out and open this door. And so we're thankful for the results that we're seeing there. I neglected to tell you about Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Steve Nordholm and his team are ministering for the summer. And they have been able to open doors to where they're ministering at least seven times a week this summer in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I wish I had time to read to you the report that Steve wrote us a letter and told us of all the various ministries that are open to them. A Baptist church, for instance, has opened its door and just giving them free rein. They've let them take charge of the whole services, and it's really wonderful, the doors that God is opening in Albuquerque. They have already had several, I can't remember, I think the number was 10 people interested in coming to Bible college. We have a police chaplain ministry. This is a chaplain that ministers to the police force in Des Moines, and that's Lauren Kanelka. We have a ministry to the alcoholics by Harlan Mueller, and he has meetings for those who are bound by alcoholism down at the little chapel downtown. We have the Seattle Center Ministry every weekend, where a group of our music ministry goes up to the Seattle Center and sings and witnesses. We have a door-to-door witnessing teams that go door-to-door every week, and there are over 100 of you involved in the door-to-door witnessing for this summer. We have 10 teams established, and we're thankful for you who will be faithful in that. We have what we call the ferry boat witnessing teams. They go out and witness on the ferry to Bremerton because people there are sitting there for 2 hours with nothing to do but listen to somebody who really cares for their souls. And we've had a good number of people give their hearts to the Lord, and that is why we're getting a fellowship started in Bremerton. We have a women's prison ministry that ministers at King County and also a Bible study at Purdy, which is a women's prison. Also a men's prison ministry who ministers at King County and at Monroe. Recently they had a little door closed there at King County, but I understand that it's being opened for them again. We also have a juvenile hall ministry. where they go down and minister at the juvenile hall. These are for those that are underage that have been picked up and on criminal offense. We have a rest home ministry, and we have a hospital ministry that we're just getting established. And this is a ministry. This hospital ministry is one where we have a number of people in the congregation that work in hospitals. And because they work in the hospitals, they come across people who are hungry for the Word of God, and but they're on duty, and they do not have the time to take to give them a Bible study or help them spiritually in any depth at all. And so we have established a ministry now, so when they find someone that is really hungry for the Lord and wants to be ministered to in a spiritual way, that they can turn their name in, and one of these team members will go up to the hospital, visit them, talk to them about the Lord, pray with them, encourage them, and follow up on them even after they leave the hospital. So I want you to be aware of that ministry. If you know someone in the hospital that would like to have a visitor come up and share spiritual things with them, you call in to Don Lockerman. He'll tell you how to get in contact with the various ones involved in that ministry. We have satellite churches, as most of you are aware of, in Kirkland, in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, in Kalispell, Montana, and in Ulysses, Kansas. The group in Ulysses is just considering becoming a satellite church. Nikki Lembo talked to Don the other day on the phone for about an hour, and we're real encouraged with what the move of God there and what God is doing and how God is unifying that people and bringing them into a place where they want to become a church. Now, those are our outreach ministries, ministries outside of Community Chapel. Some people say, well, we don't have the usual missionary outreach like some churches do, but we have all of these outreach that are missionary endeavors. Plus, of course, we have a lot of foreign students that come here that we are endeavoring to train in the Word of God that they might go out into their own country, such as Themis and Joanna, who, as you know, are now in Greece establishing a ministry there. Next, I would like to just bring you up to date on some of the ministry we have available for our children. Our Sunday school, we have approximately 180 on staff. This is teachers and assistants, plus the AV. We have classes for the four-year-olds through the fourth grade. Stay over on the other campus all morning long in Sunday school. Their parents drop them off over there before they come over here to Sunday school, and we have teachers that teach them for the whole time until church is dismissed. That's the four-year-olds through fourth grade. The first through fourth grade of those have their own chapel service held over there in the old chapel. They have their own music ministry that gets up and ministers, and the fifth and sixth grade join them in the music ministry. There's approximately 85 of our boys and girls that are involved in this junior music ministry. They testify, they exhort one another, they pray for each other. It's real thrilling to see this chapel in progress and see how these little ones minister to one another. We have Sunday school classes that start at 7 months and go on up through junior high school. And so in the available rooms over on this complex, we keep all the littler ones over here. And so as soon as that baby is able to sit up by itself, we have a Sunday school class for it so that it can begin to get oriented and acclimated into the Sunday school. And the Sunday school teachers tell us that those little ones that are in those early classes, then as soon as they get up into the toddlers and two-year-olds where they can start telling them little stories and so forth, that then there is not the discipline problem because they're already used to the classroom situation. So there's a great advantage in having our little ones in the classes. We have an AV ministry. There's about 16 people a week that work in that ministry, and this is to supply supplies for our Sunday school teachers. And it is something that would make your heart rejoice if you could just take a tour through our AV supplies and see all of the different types of things that the teachers and workers have put together so that we have tools that the young people can be taught with. We have 9 children's Bible clubs established out here in the community this summer. 33 adults plus children plus our own children are involved in those Bible clubs. We have a children's park ministry, and there's 8 adults and over 40 of our own children are involved in going out this summer into the park and having their own little music ministry and their flannel graph lessons that they set up in the play areas at the park, so other children that are playing will gather around them and they'll tell them a Bible story or puppet story and witness to them, and it gives our children an opportunity to pray for those to give their lives to Jesus. Our camp meeting activities for our children are numerous. Right now, and even prior to this time, they're planning for classes for all ages during camp meeting, so that when you're here in the services and camp meeting, your children are also in their own camp meetings, and we're praying that God will move mightily among our children in these sessions. The teachers are preparing themselves, they're waiting upon God, and they're expecting God to really move in a wonderful way during camp meeting. We have nursery monitors in the nursery to help with the babies there. We have an activity area monitor, which helps for the activity area for those who are a little bit older during the services. We have what we call a nursery runner. She sits right back there in that chair by that phone. And so if you put your baby to sleep in the nursery and it wakes up and needs you, you can rest and you don't have to worry about that, because the nursery monitor will call her on the phone there and tell her which baby is crying, and then she will come and find you and say, your baby needs you, please attend to it, so that you can relax in the service and don't have to worry about your baby that is sleeping in the nursery. And these are volunteers that do this, you see. We have high school girls that will have dedicated themselves to sit back there during a service and do that. We have helpers for single parents in services with one or more children. In other words, if we have a single mother here and she has 2 or more children, it's very difficult for her to take care of those several babies or whatever in the service by herself. And all she needs to do is let us know that, and we have people that say that I will help her in the service to take care of her children, so that if she has to go out with one, I will sit with the others and so forth. We have a Big Brother ministry, and this is a ministry for our children that do not have both parents. If we have children of mothers and that don't have fathers at this present point in time, then we have a Big Brother that will befriend that little one, take him out, play ball with him, and have activities with him once a week. We have a spiritual companion for our Christian school children. This is usually volunteered by our college students, and they say, I will accept the responsibility of being a spiritual companion for one of the Christian school children. I will befriend him, I will pray with him, I will see how he's doing, I'll encourage him in the Lord in any way that I can. On our Christian school staff, we have 32 teachers, some of those are part-time, plus we have 25 volunteers that volunteer weekly in Christian school, plus we have 10 volunteers that volunteer in the office at Christian school. We have activities for girls. We have a 4-H type of a activity where they learn sewing and cooking and so forth, and we have 3 leaders that are in charge of that under Shannon Ahern. We have ministry to new mothers. When a mother has a baby, we have those that will take it upon themselves to go over and help clean her house for her and bring meals for the family and so forth. And also for those new babies, if they have questions, if, you know, sometimes a brand new mother is not quite sure, you know, when the baby cries or if it won't eat or what it should eat and all of these different questions that come up, diaper rash, etc. And we have a wonderful nurse in the congregation, Willa Allman, that has volunteered that they can call her with all of their questions about what shall I do when my baby does this and I don't know what it's doing. We also under that have household help for the sick. If a person is sick and if they would just let us know it, we will see to it that their house is taken care of, that their meals are fixed for them, that their children are tended or whatever they need during that particular period of time, not counting the spiritual ministry of praying for the sick, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. We have a fix-it help ministry for single women and widows. Those who perhaps don't have a man around the house and are not making a whole lot of money, so they can't hire to have everything done. We have men that have volunteered to go over and fix their toaster, washer, iron, car, whatever they can do to help them. We also have established a food bank and a clothing bank. So those that are in need of clothes or food only need to contact us, and those things are available at no cost to them. We have an emergency housing ministry, so that if someone comes in from out of town and they need a place to stay, we call this particular person and she will set up housing for them. By the way, with camp meeting coming up, we need all of you to volunteer to open your homes to the visitors coming in. We're getting reports that we're going to have many, many, many visitors coming in for camp meeting, and so we need all the available homes to put them in, because some of them will be unable to come and just stay at a motel. Some of them need the financial assistance of being able to stay in your home, and it's a wonderful way to minister to and to cause them to get better acquainted with the move of God here by having that personal contact with you. Also, we have some foreign college students that are have financial difficulty, and because they're unable to work, we have people who volunteer to keep them in their home for the whole semester that their expenses be cut down. We have a ministry of supplying refreshments for our security men. We have a good number of security men that while you're sitting here enjoying the service, they're out there making sure that nobody slashes your tires, etc. And so they're walking around the premises and they stay here late into the night, and so we have volunteers that see to it that every service they get some cookies and goodies to eat to show our appreciation. I'm sorry to report that our world is so wicked that we have to require or ask people to stay out of the services and to fulfill this ministry. To me, it's a tremendous sacrifice to do that, and I really appreciate the men who are willing to donate a service in this way. We have a helps ministry for elders and their wives. And this is especially very beneficial for me. I don't know how many times I call them up and say, oh, I'm going to have a meeting tonight. Please bring me some refreshments over. And they're just so faithful to supply that and they help with housework and so forth. We also have what we call an overcomers for both men and women. This is a help in weight control. We have a ministry to those with unsaved mates. If your mate is unsaved, we have a special ministry and a fellowship just for you to help solve some of the problems that you might be going through and to pray with one another and so forth. We have an over 39s. This is for the more mature adults in the congregation. They get together and have a fellowship. We have a men's fellowship breakfast and a women's fellowship breakfast. We have singles fellowships. And we have singles fellowships for those 25 and over. We have various activities, sports activities, etc., skating and so forth for those fellowships, and many, many activities for the singles. We have family fellowships. This is new. We're just We felt a real need to have the families be able to get together and fellowship and to have an opportunity for the children to fellowship and be able to play with one another and to be able to intermingle and increase your sphere of friends. Sometimes it's easy to develop, you know, a half a dozen close friends and just stay right there and not get acquainted with all these others out here. And so we're establishing what we're calling a families fellowship, and this will be couples with children. And our first one is going to be August the 9th down at Des Moines Field House. We're renting the whole grounds there, and so there'll be baseball and different kind of sports activities and a potluck, and we're having some organized games for the little ones and so forth, so it's going to be an opportunity for families to get acquainted. Of course, we also have many people who volunteer and help us when the 4th of July picnic and the times at the ocean and these times that are church fellowships where everybody is involved. We have a family film night once a month during the fall and winter months. And Bob and Margaret Sackett are very faithful and have spent a lot of time finding films that would be wholesome and good for you to look at, and also educational and something that your family would enjoy. We have the Ministry of Healing. This is after the services. Those who have the gift of healing will minister healing, and also during the week, if you have a need, a physical need, you can call, because we now have a healing coordinator, and he will take your call, and then he will look on his list of those who have the gift of healing and have volunteered to go out and pray for your need, and he will then see which one is available at that particular time when your call comes in, and he will call them and have them go out and minister to your need in healing. We have prayer chains, both emergency prayer chains and also non-emergency prayer chains, that when you have a prayer request, you can call these numbers. They're listed in your chapel phone book, and those people will go to prayer and pray for whatever need is given them. We have a deliverance team. Those that have dedicated themselves to go into the deliverance area after every service and meet the needs and pray for those with demonic oppression and so forth. We have prayer area attendants at each service. There's a person that is assigned back there for every service, and he wears a little button that says he's a prayer area attendant. And so if you have a need as you go to prayer, if you will find him, he will find an altar worker that will help you and pray with you, because we don't want anyone that goes back there to be lost or lonely or not know what to do or not be ministered to. And along with that, we have altar workers that are assigned at each service. They dedicate themselves to go back in the altar area and pray for those that go back for salvation, baptism, the Holy Spirit, or whatever your spiritual need is. We have a church service greeting ministry. Those who have volunteered and said, I will be assigned a particular section in the congregation and I will sit in that section. And if I see anybody that sits in my section in a service that I do not know, I will go up and greet them and welcome them and find out if they're new. And if they're new, I will make them at home. I will encourage them in fellowship, see what their needs are. And then these things are turned into Don Lockram, and we have a follow-up ministry that follows up on these people, that calls them, encourages them, helps them to get involved in the congregation and feel at home. Also, we have a gospel and song greeting ministry that consists of about 50 people that do the same thing. They go and greet the ones that they see that are new. Now, it's important that each one of us decide that we are going to be on the greeting committee. That should be a ministry that every one of us fulfills, that we should always be reaching out. If you see a new face, realize that we are a very young congregation, that we're growing rapidly. I can't remember the figure now, but I believe it is that we're 40% since last camp meeting is how much we have grown, 40%. So realize that the person sitting next to you may be younger here than you are. Maybe you're only been here 2 months, but maybe they've only been here 2 weeks. And so therefore you're considered an old timer. And so you reach out and greet them. If you consider this your church home, then you're eligible to be a greeter. We have a visitation team, and this team have dedicated themselves to go to the discouraged and the dropouts and encourage them in the Lord and befriend them and try to see what their problems are. This includes what we called Operation Rescue. I think a couple of years ago, Don just felt impressed that he wanted to get started on Operation Rescue. How many of you remember the big thrust for that Operation Rescue? Well, I want you to know that it's still in existence and it's still happening. And we have people that are continuing to go visit these people that are lonely, discouraged, and drop out for one reason or another. We also have established what we call the Pastor's Visiting Team. And this is a team of people that have been especially picked to go into the homes and sit down and take the pastor's place. You see, it would be absolutely impossible for Don to come into your home and visit you personally because there's no way where he'd have enough hours in the day to just get through the whole congregation in 1 year. Even if he tried, he couldn't even get through. And if he tried to visit one person a day, for a year, he still couldn't begin to get through the congregation, see? And so there's no way that he can get around and visit all of you personally as much as he would love to do so. He'd love to be able to just sit down in your home and have a nice, long, friendly chat with you. Well, he couldn't get any other ministry done if he did that ministry. And so therefore, he's had to say, there's got to be a way that these people can know that I love them, that can... I care for them, that they know that I'm concerned about their problems and discouragements or their joys or whatever. And so we've established this pastor's visiting team that will give you a call and say, I'm here in behalf of the pastor. And he wants you to know that he cares for you and that he loves you and that he's concerned for you. And do you have any needs that you would like us to make him aware of? And then they feed these back to us, and we see then that those needs are taken care of and so forth. And so if you get a call from one of these, they've started with the ones that are newest to the congregation, and then they're going to work their way back until hopefully everybody at least is visited. So realize what this is. It is not an interrogation, but rather it is them reaching out with a heart of love, extending the pastor's hand in that way. Then we have a follow-up ministry that follows up on that and all of these other ministries, actually. We have many people that have volunteered to make phone calls, like the greeters ministry, for instance. If they find somebody that's interested in, let's say, a singles fellowship, that information is turned in and then followed up on, and they are called and contacted, and they're invited to the next fellowship and made aware of it, and see if they need a ride to it, and so forth, you see. And so the follow-up ministry extends to a lot of these ministries. We have a foundation orientation ministry, and this is something for the new converts. When they first come in and give their hearts to the Lord, we assign to them a foundation orientation minister to begin to take them through a series of Bible studies, to answer their questions, and to help them to understand the move of the Spirit of God and get oriented spiritually. We have 100 that are active in that right now. We have 100 of these ministers that are right now working with a new convert. Isn't that thrilling to see that we have got our whole team busy with somebody right now? And that means that if anyone gives their heart to the Lord tonight, that we've got to have another person join this team in order to meet the need. And so if you would be interested in becoming a foundation orientation minister, you call Jerry Leidy, and he'll be happy to get you oriented so that you can fit into that ministry if you qualify. Now, we have sensed, in spite of the foundational orientation ministry, we have sensed that we still have a need, that there is a lack, and it weighs heavy on us because we find out that after our new converts go through this orientation and as good as the ministers are and as faithful as they are to stick right with that person and call them every week and encourage them in the Lord and so forth, there still seems to be a gap after they finish that series with that minister as to what it really means to walk with God and what it really means to be a Christian and how do they implement all these things in their own personal daily lives. And this has been heavy upon our hearts, and we've said, oh God, show us a way. We want everybody to get on board. We want everybody to grow. We don't want to lose them. We don't want them to grow discouraged. And we've come up with an idea that we're going to implement. It's going to be, we haven't named it yet, but it's going to be a follow-on from this foundational orientation where we will take maybe a group of these after they come through that, and we'll put a leader over maybe six of them with a couple of helpers, and he will begin to give them instruction, and perhaps they'll listen to some tapes on some orientation classes, and then after they listen to the tape, they will all discuss it together, and then he can field their questions and answer their questions and so forth, and hopefully this will help bridge the gap and get people on board to where their Christian walk becomes stable and steady, and the temptations of the devil don't come in and throw them off balance, because we do not want weak Christians. We want strong, solid Christians, those that are able to take the meat of the Word, you know, and so we want to get them bottle fed and nourished that way, and the sincere milk, and then right into the meat as fast and quickly as possible that they might become stable. I'd appreciate you continuing to pray about that. We're putting it together now, and we're trusting that God will help us and to supply the necessary ones out here to fulfill that ministry. So we're going to be calling on you and saying, will you help in that? You who are Bible college graduates, be praying about it. Perhaps you can be one that'll take several of these and nurture them. We have what I'll call the water baptism ministry, which means that we have a minister who has the water baptism orientation and then sees that the new converts are properly oriented and baptized in water. At our baptismal services, I'm not sure now just how often we have them, but usually there's upwards to 30 or 40 that are baptized each time we have a baptismal service, and they run about every 6 weeks, I believe. We have what I'll term a wedding ministry. We have so many that are falling in love and getting married, and we're thankful for every one of them. But we do not want them at that point in time in their life to get bogged down with all their wedding plans and so forth. And so we have a coordinator that will help them and make all of that as easy as possible. We want the weddings to be spiritual, to be uplifting, and not to be formal, dowdy kind of things, you see, but we want the power of God to be there and the love of God to be there, and so we have a ministry to help in that area. We have what we call the engaged couples counseling teams that helps a couple when they begin to fall in love and desire to get married, to take them through a series of questions and so forth to see if their lives are compatible and to give them counseling so that they are ready for marriage when they set that wedding date. We have a minister of counseling, George Albert, who is a full-time staff member, and under him he has volunteers of 65 counselors that are approved counselors, and right now he has 30 active at the present time. We're thankful that he doesn't have to use all 65 of them. It shows that you're getting things taken care of, and that's good. In our church department, there's 19 on staff with 25 volunteers per week in our church. We have 16 ordained ministers, including the satellite churches. In our operations department, we have 20 on staff with 21 janitorial volunteers per week. with 5 maintenance men volunteers per week, with 13 shuttle bus volunteers per week, those who run the shuttle bus back and forth when our parking lot fills up, and also for our Sunday school students to shuttle them back and forth. And these men also work as security, and 3 patrol officers that volunteer per week. In our publications department, we have 23 on staff. 5 of those are summer only, and 8 volunteers on a weekly basis. Our music department has 2 on staff and 2 volunteers weekly. Approximately 200 are in music ministry. And I want you to realize that George requires that they come every Wednesday night to a music ministry time of waiting upon God and learning the songs and expecting God to move on their hearts. In order for them to sing up there, they're required to dedicate also Wednesday night and set that aside that they might be fit vessels ready to minister to you. We have approximately 26 special singing groups. And I want you to realize that all of these who minister in song means that they have to learn the music. Do you notice that they are not up here shuffling through songbooks and so forth? George requires that they learn that music and have it in their heart so it can come forth spontaneously and they're not reading it off of a page. And so this means then for them to get up and minister a song in a special ensemble. I have seen them. They're waiting on God. They're down there praying for one another. They have some of these ensembles meet weekly just to pray and wait upon God that God might anoint their ministry. They might only minister once in 2 months, but nevertheless, they're down there every week praying and waiting upon God and practicing and getting those songs in their heart and waiting on the Lord to give them new songs. And I think we need to back them up in prayer as well and be so thankful for their dedication. In our tape department, we have 2 on staff, and then we have 7 volunteers in that sound booth up there. I can see a couple of their heads peeping over that machinery at this point in time. They keep this sound and volume level and taping and all the rest of it intact. If you haven't been up to that sound booth, I don't know whether I should say you should go up, but it's real interesting up there. I might cause them a problem by suggesting that you all go up there and take a look at it. We have 6 volunteers that are duplicators. That means that right now you have 6 volunteers. You have people that are volunteering to stay out of this service and to duplicate the tapes as they come up and to type the name of the sermon or whatever it is so that those stickers can go on that tape so that within a few minutes after the service you can go out there and check out the service tape. They're willing to, they can't, in their particular place back there right now typing, they cannot hear the service. I don't believe they're locked in a duplicating place, and so therefore, but they're willing to do that so that you might have the tape within a few minutes after the service so that you can take that tape and re-listen to it, or you can take it and give it to somebody who missed the service. We have 2 volunteers a week that come in to erase the tapes after they're no longer needed, because we make so many copies. And then after those copies have all been used, and we just keep a few in the library and erase the others and use them over again. In our new construction 3, as Ralph Alskog calls it, the building process that you see going on here, we have 15 on staff presently in the construction. And Ralph tells us that in 1 month, he's going to need 16 hours per day of volunteer work to help on that construction. So men, get ready. I'm sure you'll be faithful. In our Bible college, we have 5 on office staff when we have approximately 12 volunteer per week in the college office. And we have about 40 academic counselors and 7 spiritual counselors. This is in a college year. Plus, we have 16 teachers that are scheduled to teach this fall. Last fall enrollment in Bible college was 881. We also have a junior high and a high school ministry under the direction of Rick Cole, and they have weekly prayer meetings, they have monthly services, they have music outreaches, they have many social functions and fellowships for this age group. Plus, they have their summer and winter retreats where they rent a campground and go up for a week. And next week, I believe, is the junior high, and the week following is the high school retreat. Be praying for our young people. Would you do that? That God, during this retreat, God is able to do wonderful works in their hearts. And let's believe that God's power is going to come down upon them in that camp meeting and really move mightily among them. We also have our prayer ministry, last but by no means least. Monday evening, we have a prayer meeting for evangelism. Thursday evening, we have a church prayer meeting. Tuesday at 1 o'clock, this is during the college, when college is on, we have a prayer meeting for swing shift workers. And then we also have those who pray with people individually, like the Cerners and others, that have dedicated themselves. If you feel that you need somebody that will pray with you on a weekly basis, if you have a particular problem in your life and you just can't seem to overcome it and you need prayer, if you will contact us, we'll assign a person to you that will pray with you daily if necessary and keep just pray with you, see, and encourage you in prayer. If you're weak in prayer and you don't know how to pray, if you'll just let us know, we'll assign somebody to you that say, I will help them, I will pray with them, I will teach them how to pray. We have 75 other prayer meetings per week. That means that if there's an average of 10 each in these prayer meetings, that's 750 adults that are involved in a prayer meeting every week on a weekly basis. Some of these prayer meetings are intercessory prayer meetings. Some, they've dedicated themselves just to pray for the marriages in community chapel. Others meet and say, we want to pray just for the outreaches, and so they meet every week to pray for outreaches. Others say, we're meeting to pray for the satellite churches and the fellowship, so they meet on a weekly basis to pray for that ministry. Others say, we're praying for a deeper walk with God, and so they meet and pray that you might have a deeper walk with the Lord. Others are dedicated to pray for the needs in the body, any needs that they hear about, or they wait before God and let God lay needs upon their heart and are dedicated to pray for that. Others pray for unity of the faith. Some are dedicated to pray for the pastor and the elders. And others are dedicated to pray for a Christian school. And now that's just a few of the categories. We encourage every single person to get involved in a prayer group. These are little prayer groups that meet in homes or else in a room that's been assigned at the church, and they meet on a weekly basis and pray. The strength of our congregation is the meat of the Word of God and prayer. And we know that if we do not have prayer, that we're going to go under. If ever we become a prayerless church, then we'll start being a playing church, as they say. And we don't want that. And so we know that the only way that we're going to go forward is on our knees. Here's a note from Ron Lowry, and it says, as a result of our team's traveling to Jesus Fair, we will have collected the names of over 400 people from all over the nation who will receive Bible College information. Applications are already coming in. So that's from our contacts. We were able to send out 400 catalogs, people that are interested in coming to Bible College. Would you pray for those who've been witnessed to? There's 400 there. And if you'll dedicate yourself and say, Lord, lay one of those on my heart, that I might pray him through to a deeper walk with God. If you want him here, Lord, lay him on my heart that he might be one. And you know, we have seen that it's been through prayer that this ministry has been established. It's been through prayer that the various members have come in. Time and again, when we have needed somebody, we've prayed and said, oh God, send us an architect. Oh God, send us this kind of a minister. Oh God, send us a contractor. Send us a Lord, we need this, see? And we found that God has been faithful, and sometimes God has known our need and sent it even before we ask. And that's just like the Lord. And I'm convinced that if every single one of us will dedicate all of our talents to the Lord and make usury of the talents that God has given us, that there will be no lack in the body of Christ. But every single one of our needs will be met. And I believe that God will continue to send people in that will make up the full body. But when we hold back and do not yield our talents to the Lord, then there's a hole there in the body, you see. And somebody else then has to pull a double load. Well, I hope that this report has shown you that you are needed and that God has something for you to do. And also, I hope that you will see that if you have a need, we want to know about it. We want to meet that need. We're dedicated our lives to help you get into the kingdom of God and to be all that Jesus would have you to be. And our desire is that your need be met. And so if we can help you in any way, in any of these areas, or if there's an area that you have a need in that isn't covered here, if you will give Don Lockram a call, he's on staff. You just need to call the church and ask for him. That's Don Lockram. He's our coordinator of ministries, and he'll be happy to see that your need is met. God bless you.